This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He is live in studio for our weekly update on growth and development issues here in Charlottesville and Albemarle County. So where should we begin, Brian?
Well, I did bring all the stories I wrote last week about water. If you want to start with water, Coy, we could.
I'm watered to death. I am watered down. I am so watered, I'm wilty.
My
fingers are pruny. And
yes.
Yeah.
I'm covering city council tonight, and they're going to talk about water.
It's not a public hearing, though, is it?
No, that's in 2 weeks.
They're going to share their feelings about after the meeting they had last Thursday about.
Maybe. I don't know how many feelings we'll get. They're going to get a discussion of the Black and Veatch report on the old Ragged Mountain Dam, so they'll talk
about
that.
Which says it's a great dam, it's in good shape.
Says it's you can build on top of it, and you can go as high as 45 feet if you want to.
Yeah.
And then they're going to talk about dredging. So those two things will be interesting.
I've enjoyed talking about water the last few years, and I know we'll talk about it a whole lot more, but maybe today if we can just talk about something else.
I just wanted to give you that opportunity.
I appreciate it. I know this is the biggest public works project in many generations, and it's worth our discussion. And it is potentially a huge amount of public money being spent on this project. But we can talk about it next week.
Good segue, because, you know, Places 29, if you line up all the things that people had contemplated for the master plan for 29 North, it would have been one of the biggest public works projects in the history of the community.
Big highway project, right?
Because of all the grade separated interchanges
that were
being discussed.
That's my dream.
But the big news last week, when the Board of Supervisors had a work session in Albemarle County to talk about this plan, they decided that the grade separation should be taken off the table.
Of course they did.
And
were you surprised at that?
Was I surprised? I guess not. I mean, in hindsight, thinking about everything that has been said, you sort of came down back to where Dennis Rooker was predicting they were going to go, which is let's just focus on the things immediately in front of us
that we all agree on. A little low-hanging fruit and focus on that, which is what?
Well, which is widening 29.
Yeah.
North of the river up to Hollymead Town Center.
Which is desperately in need.
Where it constricts down to two lanes in both
directions. Where all those accidents are all the time, yeah.
So that's one thing they agree on. They also agree on adding that other lane between the 7-Eleven and the Best Buy, the southbound lane.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah, amen.
And then a second turn lane onto the bypass at that point.
In front of the Best Buy.
Yeah.
So much needed.
They also agree there needs to be a bridge over the Ravanna River for Berkmar Drive
up there by Walmart and Sam's Club.
Berkmar Drive goes behind the Sam's Club, behind the Walmart.
Yeah.
And connects back over to 29.
Beautiful idea. So you could go to the Target, you could go to your restaurants up there, and never get on 29.
That's the beauty of parallel roads, as they call them.
Yeah.
And so, but that's the most expensive part of that parallel road. How do you get across the river?
Right.
And right there, you've got the Ravanna River. It's just downstream of the South Fork Ravanna Dam.
Well, developer Wendell Wood, who is busy as we speak building the parking lots for the new Kohl's up there. I just saw it yesterday.
Did you?
The day before. Yeah. Putting in all sorts of good places. Does he want to build that bridge to his new shopping center?
Wendell has said he wants to help that bridge get built in return for expanding Albemarle County's growth area, which by a 4-2 vote.
He always wants something in return, doesn't he?
By a 4-2 vote, he got
support. He's a good businessman. So they support it.
They did. So there's a strip of land between sort of the Doubletree Hotel across the river. So you're on the other side of the river, north of the river, up to Hollymead Town Center. There's a strip there that's in the rural area that Wendell Wood owns. He'd like to have that.
So he's saying, I'll help you build this bridge, but as it comes over the river, I want to be able to develop that.
Develop the commercial land on the other side that's rural. He wants to develop that in a commercial way.
So as you come over the bridge, you're right in major shopping zone all the way up to Target.
That's his vision for that stretch, yes. Yeah. And he got approval for that. Now, it's not a done deal yet, but that's a pretty good signal. By a 4-2 vote, he got support for that idea.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Wood has been asking for this for a long time. So this is not a new idea. And he said, I'll go along with this Places 29 thing if I have to, and you guys can review it as part of that. And, you know, he's held out. granted, the market hasn't been great for new commercial developments like this.
I'd really like to see that deal.
But he has a long-term view of these things. So
I'd really like to see what that deal really looks like.
Well,
you know?
The deal will be in the form of some proffers that are yet to be negotiated. I wasn't at this part of the meeting, Coy, but the supervisors who I imagine have opposed this and those that have opposed it in the past said the proffers would never be enough to pay for enough of that bridge.
Right. That's my concern. And you can say, yeah, I'll help you do it. Well, what exactly does that mean? I'll put some lights up there on your bridge.
So that remains to be negotiated, unless they've already negotiated it behind the scenes and I don't know about it. But that's where we are with that. So Places 29, the big news last week was, let's take the grade separation off the table. And I've got to read you this quote from Mr. Boyd, Ken Boyd on the Board of Supervisors. He said, quote, "I think to be intellectually honest, we have to say all the traffic studies indicate that we should put the interchanges in, i.e. put in grade separation, allow cross traffic to get over on the other side of 29, allow 29 north and south to not have any traffic lights," right?
Yeah.
So he's saying,
nice for him to admit the obvious.
All the studies say we need these things.
But
I think I'd rather simply say at this time, there's no funding and there's no intent to do it. So that's how they ended up.
Boy, that's a really, that's a historic comment right there. You know? I should back up and say, I wasn't surprised that they pulled it off, that the conservative-leaning Board of Supervisors took it off, because the business community has been saying, the Route 29 business community has been saying loud and clear, we don't want overpasses on 29. We don't think that's good for business. We like the traffic and the stoplights on 29 because it slows people down and that's good for business. It's more like a main street kind of thing than a little highway going through town. So not surprising that the business-leaning conservative majority on the Board of Supervisors would take those overpasses off, even though, as we all know, every study shows you need those overpasses, you know?
And the leaders of the two environmental groups that really watchdog county government, the Southern Environmental Law Center, Piedmont Environmental Council, you know, they both had representatives there. Morgan Butler with the Law Center said, you know, if we start taking off these road projects, take them out of the plan, all we're going to have left is the growth with no plan to handle traffic. That was Morgan
exactly
Butler's
right.
sentiment.
It's 2010. We may be gone by the time they do this, but one day there will be overpasses on 29. I don't see how you go into the future in the 21st century and you continue to make traffic stop at Rio and Hydraulic. It's only going to back up and back up and back up. You just, even if you put in traffic circles,
the VDOT studies say, they said even if you build the Western Bypass, 29 will still fail.
You still need the overpasses.
You still need
even
the
if you build a bypass.
Even if you build a bypass.
I totally agree. And I'm not for the bypass, but I don't see how you do it. I don't see how 29 through Charlottesville and Albemarle County goes forward into the 21st century without those overpasses. And you will have people like Mr. Boyd who will continue to say, and I have all the respect in the world for him, to admit that, hey, I know the studies show that we're going to have to do this one day, but we're not going to do it now.
And for the same reasons, though, you could say about the Western Bypass, there's no money for that either, right?
You could say one day you are going to have to need some kind of bypass around Charlottesville.
Well, you could say there's no money for that and there's no intent to do it. I mean, that was his sentiment about grade separation. I think a lot of people would make the same argument
about
the Western
bypass. Yeah. We as a community don't want to do this. We don't have any money for it anyway, even if we did.
Right.
Excellent point. Yeah. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. We'll take a very quick break, and when we get back, what do we have for the good
folks? We'll talk about the Crozet Master Plan and the 9-story buildings in downtown Charlottesville.
There you go. It's a quarter in front of 5. This is Charlottesville. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. So the Crozet Master Plan, the master plan for Crozet.
Now, we were just talking about 29 North and Places 29. That master plan is going to come to a public hearing in November. The Crozet
and
master,
it won't have overpasses in it.
And it will not have overpasses in it,
okay.
At least in this next 5 years.
But it will have the bridge over the River Kwai.
It'll have that as something they want, yes.
But no money for it.
Well, they need to figure out where the money's going to come
from. Can they sell a bond for something like that? Or they plan on, you couldn't you?
Yeah.
Do we do that anymore? Is everybody so afraid to mess with the credit rating?
We don't do that much.
And why do you have the credit rating if you're not going to sell bonds? Well, that's what I've never understood.
Primarily, Coy, the elected officials would say you don't do it as a locality because it's not our job. They would say the state is supposed to be building these roads. So why would we take out a bond to build a road they should be buying?
Well, look at the example of Prince William County. Prince William County said, we have so much growth and the state's not giving us any money. They sold some bonds. They now have an amazing road network. They just took control of it themselves.
So that's a decision.
I mean, because you're going to look Richmond blue in the face all day. They're not going to give you the money. As long as the Republicans, you know, the anti-government, anti-tax Republicans, they're not going to spend any money on roads. They've stopped. It's over. The party's over. No more road money. It's done. So localities are going to have to do it themselves, and you're going to have to sell bonds to do it.
Well, that may be the case. And, you know, out in Crozet, where the Crozet Master Plan's being talked about, it's getting its first five-year review. These are 20-year plans, but they get reviewed every 5 years. But the road out there is Jarman's Gap Road. That road has still not been built, and we've been talking about that for over a decade. So that's another example of a road project. But this general sense of the Board of Supervisors in their work session last Wednesday was very positive about the changes the community had recommended in the Crozet Master Plan. And I want to refer you to the Crozet Gazette.
Refer us, Brian.
Because Mike Marshall had a good article on that and wrote up a good summary of the board's discussion. And I think one of the interesting things there, Coy, is there's another, you know, while Wendell
they
Wood—
should call that the Crozet Gazette. like the
you could, yeah. Put a little accent mark there.
What's that? The Colbert Report?
Something like that.
It's a Crozet Gazette. There you go. I like that.
The thing that's been bounced around like a ping pong ball out in Crozet is the Yancey Mills Business Park.
Yes.
This was an idea that came in front of the County Planning Commission. They said, we don't like it. This is would be an expansion of the growth area around Western Albemarle High School, around the lumberyard out at Crozet.
Right along the highway
Yancey
there.
Mills, yeah. Right along 250. And it's about 184 acres is the site of the Yancey Mills Business Park. And the Planning Commission said, we don't like this. So the Board of Supervisors—
Did they say why?
Well, they said, yes. It's in the watershed area for South Fork. We don't want new development like this in the watershed that's outside of a growth area. So that's something we really don't do much of anymore. Once we establish—
We don't okay new development in areas that are near watersheds.
That are outside the growth area.
Yeah.
Right? So that's that they saw as a bright shining line that you don't cross. But since then, the Crozet community has said loud and clear, and we don't want this. We want the focus on downtown Crozet. Let's redevelop the area around the lumber yard, not the lumber mill. Let's redevelop the lumber yard, Barnes Lumber, in downtown Crozet, create a new main street, create a pedestrian mall. That's where their focus is. How do we, bring economic vitality?
But that's not light industrial use that's being proposed out at the lumber
mill.
It's
not, and that's what Ken Boyd is saying. Ken Boyd is saying, I want to see a proposal
and oranges
for light industrial use.
Yeah, they're very different things. But the community obviously wants a new, their own Crozet downtown mall area.
That's right. They want something different. Now, so Ken Boyd has said, you know, this is on an interstate interchange with easy access to roads.
It's a convincing argument.
We
had the guy in here
that wants to develop
it. I was convinced by it. I thought it sounded like a good idea.
So Ken Boyd got this put back in play as part of the review of the Crozet Master Plan.
Of course he did.
The community said, we don't want this. So it came back to them last week in the work session. And they said, well, you know what? It looks like we really need to review this independently of the Crozet Master Plan. So let's just separate these two things. And so now the Board of Supervisors is keeping the focus on the Crozet Master Plan. The changes that have been made, the community supports. So I expect, Coy, that there'll be a public hearing on this. It'll be well received, and that'll move forward.
Yeah.
But the question is, what happens next with the Yancey Mills Business Park? And does that get a new hearing in front of the Board of Supervisors where they just
even though the Planning Commission and the Crozet community majority nixed it?
Correct.
Yeah.
So
but
that's what we'll watch next.
It's pretty clear, I would guess, that a majority on the Board of Supervisors likes the idea.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. This is a little different than a little narrow strip of rural land along 29 North. 250 West is a scenic byway. The community has committed to not widening, you know, Route 250 out in Western Albemarle.
Yeah.
The community is committed to sticking within the designated growth areas for the most part for something of this magnitude. It would certainly be a different direction for the board, and we'll see if there's support for it.
But this is all going to be behind the lumber mill along the highway, right?
Right. It would be visible.
It's not really along 250. It's my understanding.
Parts of it are along 250, and certainly the emphasis of the developer is, you know, that most of it will not be along 250, but there parts of it will.
Yeah.
Now, he would say, I've heard Will Yancey say this in his little slideshow, you know, the lumberyard is not very attractive today. Can't you imagine something that's better than the little highway commercial development that we have right now on that part of 250? And so he's trying to spin it as, you know, we could do better, and we want to be a part of that.
Yeah. I'm going to make a prediction.
Go, Coy.
That gets approved, and the new Crozet Downtown Mall gets approved.
And then the question will be, where do we get money for a Crozet library? Because that's another key part of the Crozet master plan.
Can't you make that part of... Well, here's a design idea. Make the new Crozet library like at one end of that proposed new downtown mall in Crozet with a clock tower on top of it, and have the library be like the main building there on that new little pedestrian area.
I think the community does see it that way. It's not, they've already bought the land for it, so it's not at that exact place.
Well, they can move
you're
it.
Talking about.
They can move it.
They can figure something out. But they have to figure out how on earth are we going to pay for it. And that's why you've got the library board right now scratching their head and saying, hey, you know, the existing Crozet library, the old train station, is smaller than most people's homes. And they're saying, you know, they need immediate assistance.
Doesn't Albemarle County have the best credit rating, one of the best credit ratings in the state?
AAA bond rating.
Sell a bond. I don't understand why they're sitting on their hands. This is what you do in a recession.
Yeah,
because the construction is cheap. This is the time to build. This is when you sell a bond.
The argument would be, and they face this. They could typically Albemarle County does pay as you go for projects like that.
Yeah.
And what they haven't had is money to pay as you go to service the debt. And you'd have to find new revenues to do that.
To service the debt to pay the bonds back.
Right.
Yeah.
It takes money to build
those. I hear you. So what this story that I read in the Daily Progress, who was the author of the story? It was fantastic.
Roshana Dixit.
Give it up for
Roshana.
Fantastic article.
And she got great help from Ross Bradley and Norm Schaefer, who did the graphic on the front page, which I think you would not have seen if you just looked at the website. But the if anybody wants it, let me know, and I'll see if I can get you a copy, because I have
I didn't see it. I just read it online.
Copy of it.
Great article.
But the visualization of this was great, because it showed 12 different projects around downtown Charlottesville that were all going to be, you know, 9-story buildings.
It was going to be a totally new skyline.
And I used to come in here with my list of the 9-story buildings and update you all the time on
where
we were with them.
And they're all gone.
And most of them are all gone, yes.
There is literally no 9-story building plan for downtown at this point, is there?
Well, there's one.
Oh, that one. The monument to the economy?
That's the one that didn't get finished, and that's the Landmark Hotel.
Yeah.
So we have that one, and then everyone else has decided to...
Everyone saw that one and said gulp?
To scale them back.
So they're all back scaled to like 4 and 5 stories.
4, 5. Yep, they're all 4, 5, 6 stories.
Yeah.
3 of them have been withdrawn completely. Interestingly, on the withdrawn completely are 201 Avon Street. That was the big building that was going to wrap around the Beck Cohen Barn, you know, along Avon Street, the big silver barn.
Yeah,
it was going to be a big L-shaped 9-story building around that.
Wow.
That one's withdrawn.
Gone.
301 West Main Street, right across from the bus station, across from the statue of Lewis and Clark in Sacagawea.
Yeah.
Gone.
Gone.
First in Main, this one is on the downtown mall. Has long been a boarded up building.
Yeah.
It's above the lingerie shop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that.
Not
of course.
That I would know that.
No.
That building has been withdrawn as well. And that block has been sitting idle. I mean, I think as long as I've ever lived in Charlottesville.
Since the mid 90s, right? At least.
Yeah. And a long time.
Yeah.
Recent activity that is moving forward is the Waterhouse Project. That's the Bill Atwood Project, 6 stories. That one is going to be the headquarters of World Strides.
Way to go, Bill.
They're going to move.
It's going to look nice.
Jim Hall is moving his company from the Peter Jefferson Place development.
Downtown. Very nice. Lots of new jobs coming downtown. That's great. It's going to be a nice new building. The Coal Tower Project.
Coal Tower. You know about that?
No.
Listen to this.
I mean, from the article.
In the story, believed to be, quote, the largest project in Charlottesville's history. See, we used to always say that about Biscuit Run in the county.
Yeah.
Now we have a new one for Charlottesville.
And
you
it's
can say the coal tower.
They're going to build a series of apartment condos around the coal tower.
4 4-story buildings, 302 residential units.
Wow. Now, here's my question.
And who isn't? Who says the county? The city's not growing.
Here's my question, though. They got a bunch of new condos downtown right now that aren't rented. And well, they're going to build more?
You know, they're looking long-term, Coy.
Okay, I get you.
The economy's going to come back. And, you know, people, whenever people ask me where they should live in town, I tell them live as close to where you work as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I'd love to be able to ride my bike to work. I'd have to buy a bike first, but I'd love to be able to do that.
Now, speaking of residential extravagance, one of those projects, the 550, as it's called, which is right near the CNO restaurants, that parking lot across from the CNO, the developer of that, Coy, is quoted in the story as saying that their original idea was to have a 9-story building with one residential unit per floor, each one priced at $1.5 million.
What were they thinking?
That project's not going forward.
What were they thinking? My goodness. That's unbelievable. So Brian Wheeler.
Thank you, Coy.
You can read that story online at dailyprogress.com. It's a must read if you want to understand what's going on construction-wise in downtown Charlottesville. Brian joins us every week. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.